Here are some interesting alternatives for Dafyomi. The first recording is of today's Daf from the 13th cycle, which was done within about a half an hour. And that's followed by a very fast review, about 5 minutes, allowing you to review the entire Daf quickly. Followed by the same Daf from either the previous cycle's Dafyomi, or perhaps even from 2 cycles ago, Dafyomi. Different ambiance, usually done in greater detail. You can choose one or the other as your first Daf, the other one as a review Daf. But whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf, brought to me by Chamot Yerushalayim, is Daf Kuf, and we're still holding on Daf Tzadik Tet, Amud Beit, Omar Rava. So we've been discussing the dinim of an area that becomes smaller with adding pieces to it. What is the halakha of a change in the Rishut at the time of the Hanacha? And from there we move on now to something that we've seen earlier in the Masechta, where Rava continues with his insights into the nature of a Hanacha that is a bit unusual. And this was the question of relative Hanacha. So therefore, as Rava said earlier, Pshitali, Mayim Agabi Mayim Hanu Hanachatam, you pour water onto water. So in other words, you take water from Rishut HaRabim, you put it into Rishut HaYachid, but it lands on other water. Obviously, that is the Hanacha of a liquid, is to land on more of the same. If you take a nut and you throw it from Rishut HaRabim into Rishut HaYachid, vice versa, and it lands on top of water, a floating nut is not munach. That's Lav Hainu Hanachato. Now, my question is relative Hanacha. Suppose there is a pot or a bowl that is floating on the water and you throw a nut into the bowl. Now, relative to the bowl, the nut is munach. Relative to the water, the nut is not munach. What do we look at? Egoz v'kli tzafak abei mayim mah. Mi amrinan batar egoz azlina panayach. Do we say that we look at the local relationship of the egoz to its immediate space, in which case its immediate space being the bowl means that it is not in the bowl? Or do we say that we have to look at where the kli itself is, and the kli itself is not nayach, and therefore we should go batar kli azlina v'alo nayach? Take that question remains standing. You'll recall back from the beginning of the Masechet, where we expanded on this question about how about different types of liquids. And suppose you have a liquid that floats on another liquid. So you have oil, and you've put the oil down on wine. Now that would be a machloket Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'Rabbanan, in a completely different context. But there is a question as to whether those two liquids are essentially considered to be one body. And what would that be, nogea? It would be nogea, the din of tum'ah v'tahara. So we have, in fact, a Mishnah, which talks about shemen, which is tzafa gabayai. So we have a container. The top part of it is oil, which is floating above some wine. A tfu yom touches the shemen. And that, a tfu yom, we know, can passel truma. And he does, in this case, the shemen. But he only passes the shemen, according to the Tanakhama. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, since it's liquid, even though the liquids are clearly kept separate by their density, they are still considered to be one object, shneim chibur zeh lazeh, and because of that, the tfuyom basically touched both the shemen and the yayin, and passels both of them, and because of that, the same thing would be true here, legabi Shabbat. Omer Abaye. Now, you will recall that yesterday we were discussing, according to the shailas that we had raised with Rabbi Yochanan and so on, the question was whether a change in the nature of the Rishut that is caused simultaneously with the placement of something in the Rishut or the removal of something in the Rishut, do we go according to the status after the placement, or is it considered to all happen at once? Abaye has a different idea about that sugya. So we left it yesterday, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we left it hanging. We didn't know how to paskin. But Abaye said, look, I could tell you even a bigger chiddush. I would say like this. You've got a bore in the middle of Rishut HaRab. Now this bore is 10 tvachim deep, and it's 8 tvachim wide. Okay, so it's clearly big enough to be Rishut HaYachid by itself. You only need 4x4. This is 8x4. However, what this guy does, let's first start from simple. You would take, let us say, a mat, okay? You throw the mat into the bore. What would be the din? Obviously, you'd be chayiv. If you throw a mat into a bore, why wouldn't you be chayiv? So if you're zorak litocham hachatzelet, you're chayiv. Ha! But how about if you carefully place the mat so that it breaks up this bore into 2 equal pieces? So now you've got...
Flat.
No, standing up. Yeah. You sit as a machitza. So you fit it in, and now it pops out, and it's sitting there. and it breaks the bore into two parts, neither of which is 4x4, because there's some thickness of the matzelet itself. So each one is slightly less than 4x4, which means neither of them are rishatayachi. Now, even though this is not nearly as much of a miut of the rishus as actually dumping some dirt on the bottom or putting the bricks in the bottom we were talking about yesterday, nonetheless, Abaye is convinced that the halacha is that you would be potter, because at the moment that you put in the machatzelet, you've also been mevatel the rishut hayachid, as opposed to yesterday, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't sure even about the case where you filled in the bottom by putting something down in it. Now, says the Gemara, if he's convinced that you're potter, so then labaye, the pshita, like the machatzelet mevatel b'chitza, if Abaye is absolutely clear about the fact that even a machatzelet will cancel the din of the mechitzot of the bor so that they no longer have the chashivut of 4x4 and 10 tefachim high. So kol shekain, if you would put a chulia down, and no, you no longer, because that stays there, and that, there, you for sure no longer have the mechitza because you no longer have the height of 10. I mean, it makes some difference whether it's the height that's the problem or width that's the problem. The mechitza requires those minimal measurements in order to have that din of a mechitza for Shuta Yachid. So kol shekein, a chulia is going to be a bevatel mechitza. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who insisted that the question revolves around the case of the chulia, so he for sure would never have thought that a machatzelet, I mean, he's not even sure about a chulia, he wouldn't have even considered the question of a machatzelet, which is nowhere near as a convincing miut of the machitza, pshita delo mevatla machitzata. V'yam Rabbaye, another point that Rabbaye makes is that if you have a bor reshut rabbi, and it's a regular bor, fulfills all the requirements of reshut yachid, it's a mukas, it's rechava arba'a. If you fill this bor with water, obviously not on Shabbos, it's filled with water, you now throw a rock into it. The water doesn't change anything. The rock goes straight down to the bottom. The fact that there's water in here doesn't concern me. There's a machlokas actually between various rishonim what the issue is. Is it because the water is transparent, as some shita suggest, that therefore you see the bottom, and therefore it's not as if it was really covered? Sort of a... Okay, others learn because the water obviously doesn't prevent things from getting to the bottom. If you throw in a rock, it's going to go to the bottom. But in any event, that water is not mamayat. But if it's filled with peirot, now you throw something into the bor, it'll never get to the bottom of the bor. It's going to land on the peirot. In that case, you would be potter. Why? Mayim lo mevatel mechitzata. But the peirot are mevatel mechitzata. Now, there's a beautiful question on here, which many of the Shalom ask good questions. We just had before the discussion about the fig, the wet fig. And sticky fig. Yes, sticky. Sticky fig. Okay, now we said that a sticky fig is definitely not mevatel the space of the arba amot. Now, what do I care whether the fig is sticking because of molecular attraction or whether the fig is sticking because of gravitational attraction? The point is that we considered it not to be something that was kavua there. And if it's not kavua, we said before, even Rabbi Yochanan never would have considered that it would be mevatel the distance of arba tefachim. So why is it mevatel the height of the bar? So there's many different answers that are suggested for this. One is that a small thing sticking out is definitely not going to be mevatel. There are the derekas for sure. You remove it. Another is that indeed there is a difference between things that are sticking somewhere and not being stored, and things that are being stored. If they're being stored, then they're, in a sense, I mean, even though not totally mevutals there, but there's a tendency to leave them around for a while, and that is enough already to be mevatel. If you can't get through them, that's enough to be mevatel. Hashem can something that is sticky is not stored because it's not protected, and therefore it wouldn't be mevatel. There's many other suggestions as well, but you can use your imagination. Tanya Namiyaki, Hazorek min Ayam le Yisratia. So there you are on the king's highway. The main highway is the Yisratia. That's the Autostrada. This is the Yisratia, right? So the Autostrada in Berlin, and you've got a Yam right next to it, and there you throw from the Yam to the Yisratia, from the Yisratia to the Yam, you would be potter because the Yam is considered to be a Carmelite. It's not considered to be a Rishut HaYachid. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Yesh B'makom Shezarak Amol Kasra V'rachav Arba'a Chayav. Although the Yam, as the entirety of the Yam, is considered to be a Carmelite, if there is a local mechitza in the yam. So let's say that you're standing in a specific depression, which has the shear of Rishut HaYachid locally. And again, these dinim are not quite clear. In other words, would we say that if there's you're in Australia and you have a continental shelf that may be very dramatic? Not that that's the case there, but suppose you would have a continental shelf that's very dramatic that goes down all around. It goes down 10 tefachim within Arba Amot, which is not that difficult to imagine. Would you have an entire continent being Rishut HaYachid? I mean, it's the same thing. Is the entire Yam or Rishut HaYachid? Because, I mean, all around it's surrounded by continents. So obviously there's something about the local space, which we're taking for granted, even though we're not defining it 100%. And we do, and we'll see when we get to Erevin, we do definitely begin discussing sizes. But here in Shabbat, we don't even really cannot mention it at all. So what Rabbi Shimon is saying is that if in the middle of a Carmelite, which itself may have mechitzas, but which because of the fact that it doesn't have a full din of Rishut HaYachid like the Yam, you have an area that does have the Amok Asor and Rochav Arba, then it's as if you drew it from a local Rishut HaYachid. And in that case, you would be chayav. So even though it's covered with water, right? Must be that the water is not mavatal. So therefore, if you throw it from there to the highway, which is the Rishut HaRabim, you would in fact be chayav. So you see from your Araya to what we said, that just because something is filled with water, that is not mavatal, it's shame of being Rishut HaYachid. Continues on Richie's famous Russian rendition.
Zuk Techeluk Mishnah.
Hazorek Arba Amot Bekotel. Here, once again, we reach one of our famous... yes, we reach one of our famous and favorite Mishnayot. A guy throws in Rishut HaRabim, and he throws a full Arba Amot, but it hits the wall. It hits the wall above Asarat Tefachim from the ground. As again, as we see many times, Rishut HaRabim does not extend beyond Asarat Tefachim. Well, it's as if he threw it into the air and it just stood there. I mean, or if it's as if he threw the whole thing, l'malam yasarat tefachim. So in other words, it wasn't in Rishut HaYachid. But if it landed l'matam yasarat tefachim on the wall, then it's as if he was throwing it within the ground, meaning along Rishut HaRabim. And of course, then he would be chayav, because azorek baretz arba amot, chayav. And of course, just as we recently discussed, and of course we've seeing many, many times how the previous sugya prepares the way for the yesodos that are to come. But v'halo nach, how, if it's something hits the wall, could it possibly be considered something that would be mechuyaf or hotzah if it never landed? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, it did land, it just didn't land with gravity. It's a sticky fig, and it's a devela shemena shaninu. On Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Chiyazarag l'mala mi'asara. Now, in a similar case, you throw something above ten tefachim, but it doesn't land because of stickiness. It lands in a small hole. This hole is not large enough. There's a wall. Lands in a hole in a wall. This hole in the wall is not large enough to be considered a Rishut HaYachid. It's just a small opening. But nonetheless, you might be chayav, depending banu l'machloket Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. We have a famous machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. The machloket is l'gabi the din of a mezuzah. We know that in order to be chayav in a mezuzah, you need the shear of a petach, which requires four tefachim on the bottom, by a height of 10 tefachim. How about if you pull a Richie where your head falls all the way to the ground, and in order to get through... this doorway, you have to pull a Richie. And why is that? Because this doorway is actually arched on top, so that it really starts bending up. So that if you measure from the middle piece to the bottom, you do have 10 tefachim. But the moment that you move an inch out of the way, it's already too low. So that anybody but Richie passing through will pop his head. Now, the problem over here is, there's two ways of looking at it. We could say, let us draw an imaginary line from the bottom, which is 4 tefachim wide, and this goes up all the way to the height of 3 tefachim, because otherwise it wouldn't have 4 tefachim on the bottom. Remember, Lovud, we'd have to deal with the Lovud issue. Above 3 tefachim, it starts to arch to the top. We could draw an imaginary line and cut away the arch so that we just have The highest point is 10. The widest point is 4. Bingo, there we have our door. Or say, look, bottom line is, not everybody's going to be Richie. I mean, this is not really considered to be a full door. Legavi and mezuzah. Now, that is a machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Rabban. So Rabbi Meir says in that case that chokekin lahashlim, what you do is you virtually chop away at the doorway so that the line that you drew from its highest point to its widest point now becomes the doorway. Chokekin doesn't mean obviously we literally chop away. That means we cut away the area that's in which reality intrudes on our virtual picture so that we virtually are chokek and therefore you have a doorway. Well, if that's the case, in this wall, we would do the same thing. You don't have enough to give you a din of Rishut HaYachid, but according to Rabbi Meir, you chop away virtually to make it Rishut HaYachid. Says Tosis, what the heck does this have to do with that halacha? Chokekin LaHashlim, according to Rabbi Meir, is only where you have a maximal size that you now are going to make the size of the whole thing. Where is your maximal size over here? What are you being mechokek? You can't just say, because I have a small thing, I'll make it a big thing. Rabbi Meir never said anything like that. He said you're allowed to draw virtual lines, but over here there's nothing to draw the virtual lines from. Therefore, Tainus Tesis, what we are talking about is a rather standard situation where people build walls and they put bottles in the wall, which we see all the time over here. You put a thing in the wall so that when it's removed, you have a wide opening on one side, the side that's facing your private rishos, which becomes a very small opening on the other side. You don't want people putting in their paws and stealing what you put into your wall. And therefore, there is an actual virtual design here, because from the other side, you did have four tefachim. You, standing in the Rishut HaRabim, obviously do not have access to that four tefachim. So your thing that you threw landed right there, pop, where the top of the bottle had been. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, we would fill out the entire thing to make a virtual 4x4 across the entire thing, including the back. That's what it's talking about. And so this is exactly the case of the limited doorway. Fine. So according to him, you'd be chayev. According to the Rabbanan, ain chokakin, and you would not be mechayev. Tanya Namayochinti, there's a brayta that says this openly. Zorak lema'alami asarav en alcha v'nacha b'chor kol shehu, Rabbi Meir is mechayev, and the chachamim are potrin. Obviously, they're saying machloket based on chokakin lashli. On Rabbi Yoram Rab, another very important halacha is, which is similar to this, except it's the inverse. It's the inverse in the sense that we've been talking about drawing a virtual line to remove material. But we can actually draw a virtual line to add material. How do we do that? Well, Richie knows all about this because we use it to make his Erev all the time on Richie's Island. Is that Finn again or Finn or Rich? Anyway, so what is the din over here?
Gilligan.
I see. Okay, there we are. So what we have here is the inverse case. We start without any height. We gradually, basically this is a ramp for a wheelchair ramp. The top of the ramp is 10 tefachim high. The bottom of the ramp is 0 tefachim high. And the length of the ramp has to be a maximum, of 4 amot. In other words, as long as within the space of 4 amot, the ramp is raised to the point where it's 10 tefachim high, and it's not a more gentle slope than that, it is considered to be a Rishut HaYachid on the top of the ramp. So basically, what we've done is we've made the entire ramp an area that is raised, because the end of it is 10 tefachim high. And therefore, if you had such a thing, and you had a tail, a ramp that is mitlaket asara betoch arba, it is gets to be 10 tefachim high within 4 amot of length. V'zorak v'nach al gabav chayav. To show you that this is actually true, and that something like this is considered to be a full mechitza, tanya nami hachi, where you have a situation, the easiest case to see it is where you've got a curb, which is a very sharp curb, comparatively, into an alleyway. So you have a mavui. A mavui in which the top of the mavui begins to have a ramp down to the street level, to Rishut HaRabim. And it's such a high ramp, you've got to get up 10 full tefachim in order to drive into the mavui. The ramp, the access ramp, is less than 4 amot in length. So it becomes Naaseh Midron Rishut Ram, or vice versa. You have to drive down into your Mavui. Also, Naaseh Midron Letocho. Oto Mavui Eno Tzarich Lo Lechi Velo Korah. Even though normally an open Mavui requires a Tikkun Derabanan to turn it into a Mokum that you're allowed to carry, so it needs something to take the place of a Mechitza, either a Lechi on the side or a Korah going across the top. Since this particular Mavui has a true Mechitza, what's its Mechitza? It's ramp. So we see that a ramp like this is indeed considered to be a Mechitza, which is exactly, Richie, why we get away without making a Lechi or a Korah or our Tzurat HaPetach in those places. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Tel HaMitlakit Asra Mitoch Arba V'Zorak V'Nach HaGabav Chayav. So here we see very clearly it's considered to be a Mechitza, even Legabe providing the full shear of the square Amot, or square Tvachim of the Rishut HaYachid. And now Richie is back online.
Zuk the Chelek HaMishnah.
Old man River.
Zorak v'toch arba amot.
We get that.
V'nit galgel chutz l'arba amot. Patur. Somebody throws something on the ground and he aims for within arba amot. Is grabbed by the wind and it goes beyond where he threw it. He's potter, because again, he did not have, and he's not a melechet machshevet over here. This is a mitasek. He was a mitasek beheter. He wasn't going to do anything wrong. So he's potter. If his kavanah was to throw it outside of Arba Amot, and then it was grabbed by the wind and blown to within Arba Amot, then he would be chayav. Now, Rashi understands this to mean that it's talking about that it never hit the ground. Because had it hit the ground, there'd be absolutely no chiddush at all to tell me that. What do I care what happened after it hits the ground? So the wind blows it out of where it landed? Is that an issue? That's not even an issue. It's got to be that what the Mishnah is talking about is that even though it didn't really hit the ground, it was nitgalgel l'toch arba amot etzchayev, and because of that, the Gemara is going to question, well, where was it nach? How exactly is it considered to be chayev? Ala nach. Where is the hanach, huh? Well, obviously, it had to be nach agave mashu. It had to be, now we're going to say in the end that what that means is not literally, again, this is Rashi Shita throughout, not literally touch something, but held in place for a moment by the wind, before the wind gets strong enough to reverse it. So that it's considered, because it is still, and it's within the shalosh, shaloshat tvachim, it's considered to be in one place, even if normally you hold that we do not say kluta kamishuncha, and when something is moving, that it's not considered to be nach. In this case, if it's held by the wind, it would be sufficient. The Tanya Namiachi, Zora Kutzar Bamot Udhafato Haruach, the wind pushes it, the Ichni Saton pushes it into our Bamot, even though it ended up once again chazravo tziato and landing where it was originally meant to land, it would be potter because there was no hanacha. But suppose the wind held it for a moment, achazato aruach, and then it moves. Even if it's just for a mashu, this is Rashi's proof that it doesn't mean literally touching; it just has to be held in place. And that would be the chiddush of the Mishnah. Then you would be chayev because that standing in place for a moment is considered to be the hanacha, and now whatever happens afterwards, we don't care. Chayev. Hitgalgel
rolls.
Doesn't mean the English sense of roll. It means is moved not by virtue of the original zrika. Oh my Rava. Rava says in general, if you hold, like the Rabbanan, who argued earlier, remember on Rabbi Akiva about when you were Zorik from one Rishut HaYechid to another Rishut HaYechid, Rishut HaRabim in the middle, they do not hold of Klut HaKamishun Chadam. And they certainly do not learn how to Zorik from Moshe, all those issues. So that means that they hold that even though something is along the ground, it nonetheless is not considered to be Munach. So.
Really rolling this way.
Yeah, literally. It would need a hanukkah for a moment on something to be chayiv, even if it is betok shlosh. You shouldn't think that the rabbanon are only talking about when it wasn't betok shlosh. Even if it's betok shlosh. Hey, such wonderful people. I'm telling you, there's nothing like this Seinfeld. Huh? Baruch Hashem. chesed, care, unbelievable. So you would need hanacha gabi mashu. Yativ marimar v'karmel alashmaitita. So marimar was saying over this maimer of Rava, and Ravina said to him, normally Ravina le marimar, I don't understand. I need Rava to teach me a Mishnah. I mean, I know how to read. Love, I know matniti. Isn't that the Mishnah we just said? We said that, and when Rabbi Yochanan explained the Mishnah, it was chutz la'arba mot v'nit galgel, that it had to be nachagabe mashu. It's exactly this case. So what, I need Rava now to explain to me something that any kid who learned the Mishnah knows it with the Pirush of Rabbi Yochanan. Gusha nachagabe mashu. Oh, Marley, no, wait a minute. We would not have known it, because you're talking about the case of mitgalgel in the wind, basically, right? Mitgalgel karpet. Over there, there's a big difference, because there ain't sofola nuach. It's not going to land in this place, okay? But according, I mean, the statement that Rava made was obviously talking about all circumstances, even if it was going to land here in the end. It didn't move out of that place. So you would think, okay, I mean, if it's going to land an instant before, it's already considered to be landed. Then let's say a doggy comes and eats it up before it actually lands, you would be chayev, because it landed.
In the dog?
No, it landed before the dog, because it was within Shlosha, and it was going to land here if it hadn't been that it was so rudely interrupted. And therefore, I would have thought maybe over here, Afagav the Lunach, Kamad the Nachdami, even though it hadn't actually stopped. But there you don't need that it should actually stop. Kamad from it. Now that takes it a step further than what was clear from Rabbi Yochanan's Pirush on the Mishnah. And now our president has arrived.
What the Helika Mishnah?
There we've got the authentic non-Russian version.
Night and day.
Oh, now come on, don't sensitize him.
No, I'm just different.
It's a fella for the day and a fella for the night.
Hazorek b'yam. Arba amot patur. As we saw it earlier, the yam, in the case of the yam and the Yisratia, so the yam is considered to be a carmelite, therefore it's not like throwing from the Rishut HaYachid into an Yisratia, which is Rit Rabim. How about if you throw in the yam itself, arba amot? That's a potter. Because it's a carmelite, as we said before. But, and the reason it's a carmelite is because of its usage, kind of thing, right? So you might think, I mean, you got a big puddle in the middle of the street. Does the big puddle in the middle of the street, Richie, turn the street into a carmelite? Because it doesn't have that ease of use, which is part of the requirements of being a real Rishut HaRabim. So if you've got a rekak mayim, which the Rishut HaRabim goes right through, which means that people drive through it, walk through it, and so on. As long as the Rabbim are Mahalechet Bo, the halacha is that it is a true Rishut HaRabim. And therefore, if somebody is Azorek Batoch or Bahamot, is Chayav, as long as it's less than 10 Tvachim in depth. The Kamo Rekak Mayim Pachot Mi Asara Tvachim, it can't be in a different technical Rishut, which is Rishut HaYochid. Now, for some strange reason, the Mishnah repeats its opening thesis without any explanation. Now that is really weird. It's totally repetitious. Look, I mean, this is really a weird Mishnah. We never see something like that. We just like read the same line twice in the Mishnah. So I understand the part about why the Mishnah would want to stress Rabbi Malkim. Because there's a big Kiddush in this. Hiluch, hiluch, trei zimne. Hakam mashmalam. Hiluch ha-yedei atchak shmei hiluch. But tashmish ha-yedei atchak lo shmei tashmish. There are usages, and we've seen this problem earlier. There are usages that Rabbi makes that are convenient usages. For instance, the famous case of the Amud Tish'a Nushet Rabim, which is just the right height for putting down your backpack when you back up to it. That's considered to be part of Rushet Rabim. It's both of Rushet Rabim. Suppose, however, you have a hole that you need to bend all the way down to put something into. Now, people may actually use that, because it's all that you have to protect things, but it sure is not convenient. Our Mishnah is repeating Hiluch, because walking is the primary meaning of Rishut HaRabim, moving through it, and therefore, despite the fact that it's tough to get through, it's going to get you soaking wet, it's full of mud, whatever it is, if that's is the way to go, then this is the way to go. And this is the Rishut HaRabim. But usage, even though it may be a usage that people are utilizing, it's not called Tashmish. But why repeat exactly the same case? Why not use the opportunity to talk about a different type of Ayadei Atchak? Why repeat Rakak? I mean, that is really weird to say the same sentence twice and not to even offer any explanation. So Rakak, Rakak, Trezine Lamali. Well, we could say maybe one is Bimot HaChama, one is Bimot HaKashamim. I might have thought that there's different definitions of Rabbi Mahalkimbo when it comes to the summertime and the wintertime, the rainy season or the dry season. Because look, suppose it would have just said one. I would have said, well, maybe Bimot HaChama, where it's steaming hot and people don't mind walking through a little bit of water, you know, and you cool your toesies. So Avida Inish the Miskila Kure Nafshayo, you got it's unpleasant. I don't mind walking through the water. But in the middle of Yamata Gashamim, it's cold out there and wet. I don't want to get wet. Maybe that's already considered to be a halicha that is so inconvenient it doesn't give it a dinner Rashut Arabim. Or on the other hand, let's say you would have told me beferish Yamata Gashamim, I would say, yeah, you know why? Because you're so filthy anyway, you don't care about getting a little filthier. So you walk through it, because you're already covered with mud. So keep it in meat and fail like patru. But Bimot HaChama, I mean, you're heading, you know, to an important business meeting. You're not going to walk through a puddle. And therefore, I would say it's not considered to be Ayadei Atchak even. Abaya says, well, I would say another explanation. I would say Yitzra. Because Sagadat Ramina Hekadol Havi Arbamot. Well, let's say it's Hekadol Havi Arbamot. Akufi Makfile. In a case where it's not Arba Amot, so over there, I don't mind so much walking around it. I'm walking through it. But once it gets to be already bigger than that, I'd rather walk around. So there, if it's Arba Amot, I'll walk around instead of going through this whole way inconveniently. Kamashman, it doesn't even matter if it's long. Ravashi Amar Yisr. Sakat al-Katamina hanimi lechata havi Arba. Avol, hechata lo havi Arba. Here we're talking about Tvachim, not Amot. So I would say once it is less than four tefachim, you know what people do when they get to the puddle? They jump over it. And therefore, the inside of the puddle is indeed a mokum patur. It's not a place where people walk. And lo havi arba mifsai pasila. The mashmalan, by repeating the same case, it's handling these different types of issues. Summer, winter, wet, dry, dirty, clean, four amot, less than four amot, four tefachim, less than four tefachim. And this is Rav Ashi l'taymi. The Omer of Ashi, Haiman Dezorik, Benocha Guda de Gamla, Bechayim, Sharei Rabim Bokimbo. You know, you often have a case where you've got this little bridge that crosses over a little space. You know, so some people may jump, but other people simply walk over the little bridge that they put down, which is a Guda de Gamla. It's basically a piece of wood, you know. It lands on the piece of wood. Since many people will walk over that piece of wood, even though it's in the middle here. So it's considered to be, even though some people will jump over it, it's considered to be part of Rishut HaRabim and Rabim or Bokimbo. All right, let's just do, you know what, let's not. Let's wait for Mitzvah Shabbat. It's the beginning of another nice sugya. And what? Omar Rava. Pshiteli mayim agavi mayim haino hanakata. Egoz agavi mayim lav haino hanakata. Boy, Rava, egoz beklivet litzav agabi mayimau. Mi amrina batar egoz eslina vanayek. Odiomo batar kli eslina valonayek. Teku shemen agabi yayin makloket Rabbi Yochan benuri v'rabona. Titznan lagabi the dinim of etuma, of vertruma, of etvulyon. Shemen chitzav agabi yayin v'nagat vulyon b'shemen, according to the Tanakam al-Apostle al-Shemen. But Rabbi Yochan benuri omer, it's all one big liquid. And shem chibur zelezeh. Omer abayin. By four. And your Zorak Batocha Machatzelet, obviously you're Chayim. But Chilka B'Machatzelet, then you're B'Potter. So according to Abaye, he doesn't have the kind of self-doubt that Rabbi Yochanan had. So Shitalev, a Machatzelet is Mavatel a Machitza Vershut HaYachid. Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan's case of a chuya koshkin is mevat lamechitza. Rabbi Yochanan to be boyle chuya, to him it was obvious that a mechatzelet is pshita do lo mevat lamechitza. V'yom Rabbi, bor b'rishut Rabbi, amuka asara v'rechava arba'a. If it's melea mayim v'zorak l'tocha yurchaya. If it's melea peirot v'zorak l'tocha patur. My taima, mayim lo mevat lamechitzata. Perot or mevat lemechitzata tanya mehaki azarek min hayam liisratya mumin hayisrat liyam. So the yam being a what you might think was rishut yachid because of its mechitzas, nonetheless, the din of a Carmelite, to an Isratya, which is a din of a real Rishat Rabim, or min Israt la the Yam, vice versa, your potter, because the Yam is a Carmelite and not a Rishat. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im yesh babok shizorak, abok asarav rachav arba'a, then you would be chayiv. Hazorak arba'a mot bekotel lamala mi'asarat vachim, kizorek be'avir. Lamata mi'asarat vachim, kizorek baretz, and then you're in big trouble, because hazorek baretz arba'a mot chayav. But wait, halonach, om Rabbi Yochanan, splat, bedvela shenena shenenu. Zorag v'nachal gabav chayav tanya nami achi mavui shishavel atocho v'nasi midron rishut rabim o shavel rishut rabim v'nasi midron atocho oto mavui eno tzorech lo lechi v'lo kora v'bechnina b'gamliel omer tel amitlakit asra mitoch arba v'zorag v'nachal gabav chayav zorag v'toch arba amot v'nitkagel chutz arba amot patur chutz arba amot v'nitkagel atoch arba amot chayav v'lonach. On Rav Yochanan, well, obviously, you should not have the marshal, or the ruach was my meditanya amiachi, zorak chutz arba amot to chafato ruach v'chnisato. Then, apa pishachas rabba tiyato, you'd be potter. But, if even for a moment, achazato ruach marshal, apa pishachas rabba v'chnisato, chayab. On Rav Yochanan, shlosha lo rabbanan, tzorik hanacha agabi marshal, yate marima v'gomel alash maitata. Omer la Ravina la Maremer, that's a beferish of Mishnah. Lav einu matnitin, where Rabbi Yochanan said, "Ushenacha gabi mashu." Omer la, no, the Mishnah's mitgargel, mitgargel karmit, mitgargel ain't so full of nuach. Mash ain't kain Rava, including all cases, even with so full of nuach. So I would have thought, avagav the lonach commanded nachdami, kamash malan. Hazorek biyam arba amot patur. Im ayarekak ma'im rishudarabi mehalechet bo. Hazorek letocho arba amot chayav. Vekamu rekak ma'im only if it's less than asarat vachim deep. And by the way, in case I didn't mention this before, rekak ma'im rishudarabi mehalechet bo. Hazorek letocho arba amot chayav. Amaleu merabon al rabo. That's confusing. So Bishamay, Hiluk Trey Zimne. I can understand as teaching me Kamashvan that only Hiluk Hayadeat Chak is Shmei Hiluk, but an equivalent case of Tashmish Hayadeat Chak is not called Tashmish. But why have the same case twice? Why Rekak Trey Zimne Lamali? Chad Biyamot HaKamah, Chad Biyamot HaGishamim V'Tzrich, Tidot HaKharav HaMineh, Ani Mila Biyamot HaKamah, De'avid Inchi, the Mizkid HaKurin Nafshayu, Ava Biyamot HaKashamim Lo, V'Yashminen, even Beferush, would have said Biyamot HaKashamim, I would have said, given a Mikdenfei, so maybe Lo Yichpatlu, Ava Biyamot HaKamah Lo, Abayim Amar Yitzrach, Sakat, Ayat HaKamin Ani Mila Zeicha, To Lo Havi Arba Amot, But Echad Havi Arba Amot, I'd rather just walk around. Akufi Makvile, Ravash Amar Yitzrach, Sakat, Ayat HaKamin Ani Mila Zeicha, that it's at least for talking. But if it's not for talking, I'll just jump over it. Mifsi pasilet. Vaz Rashi v'taimei, the Amar Ravashi, indeed, in a case where someone is Zorek v'nocha guda de gamla, even though you could just jump over it, you'd still be chayef because Rabim are bokimbo, which is essentially the way he learned our Mishnah.
That's, you're just into the disease area. Okay, today's daf is daf kuf. We've gotten up to the middle of the phase yesterday. And I think we were right at Boy Rabbi Yochanan. So our question yesterday that we had left off with was the relationship of the wall around the mechitza to the mechitza which creates. We have a wall which itself would have been a karmelite, and it's ultimately it's used as part of a rishus harabim. It came out with the kal v'chomer that im la'atzmo, im la'achirim lo sin mechitza, so then it should certainly be la'atzmo lo kol shekein, and we view it as being part of a single unit of rishus. So we look at it as if it's an amud. Now we have another interesting variation on the idea of the relationship between that which makes the Rishus, which is part of the space of the Rishus, as opposed to part of the Mechitza of the Rishus. It's almost a mirror image of this question. What happens here is that at the same moment that the Rishus is created, it's created through removing something from it. Very simple. You have a bor, and the bor is only tishatva. Now you take out a piece which was on the bottom of the bor, and in taking it out, it now becomes asaratvachim. So did you take out something from Rishus of asaratvachim and bring it into Rishus of Rahim? Or do we say that the time that you were over it, we have to look at that as being not a Rishus of Rahim, as only tishatvachim? So let's see that insight. You take out a layer of the bottom of the bor. At that point, it became ten tefachim. So then you take it out into the Rishus HaRabim. What's the difference? Do we say akirat chefetz v'asiyat mechitza v'hari adadi ka'atu u'mechayev or lo mechayev? Should we say that at the moment that he takes out the skulia, when he puts it into Rishus HaRabim, he essentially was removing it from a Rishut HaYachid, despite the fact that before the moment that he was opened, it wasn't a Rishut HaYachid yet, but it became simultaneously with his Hotza'ah a Rishut HaYachid? Or do we say that you have to define the Rishut first and then take something from that Rishut in order to be chayav on Hotza'ah? The Imtim Tzilomah. Now let's assume for a moment that you answer me by saying that Kiman de lo havi mechitza srami kara lo mechayev, that since at the moment that you were okered, there wasn't yet a mechitza there. This is an interesting way of looking at it, and it's very important because we take this for granted throughout the sugya. The problem isn't that we don't have enough space. The problem is we don't have a mechitza. Because a mechitza is only so-called when it defines a particular space. If the mechitza can't define the space, it's not a mechitza. So when we have a mechitza that's nine tefachim, so to speak, because the bor is only nine, that's not a mechitza. When we now have a bor of ten tefachim, we now have a mechitza of ten tefachim. That's the point. So that in having a space surrounded by mechitza, we can look at it as not having had a mechitza made kara.
Is the entire bottom of the bor dug out? Is it only this little section?
That would depend whether it's betok shalosh or so, and that's a sugya that we actually had earlier about a bayit. Remember, we dug out the middle of the house, compared to the other with sukkah. The difference is there about not having to. You recall the sukkah?
Yeah,
so you were chokek in the middle of it. That's the sukkah way back in the first place.
You're saying the mechitza is the wall of the bor?
The bor.
No,
the wall of the bor itself. So in this case, you let us assume for a moment, and I'll accept from you, that because at the time that you did the akira, there was no mechitza, you therefore not mechai. How about the other way around? How about if the bor did have a mechitza? You pick up a chulia outside of the bor in the Rishut HaRabim, and you put it down inside the bor. But in putting it down inside the bor, you no longer have a mechitza. How about then? There you can't tell me what about this. Had never yet been defined as a Rishut HaYachid. Here it had been defined as a Rishut HaYachid. The question is that since at the moment of Hanachah, it will no longer be a Rishut HaYachid, having lost its mechitzot, so perhaps I didn't take something and put it in a Rishut HaYachid. Because by definition, the insertion makes it an non-Rishut HaYachid. So, mahu hanachat chefetz v'siluk mechitza hadari ka'atu mechayev. Although, does a situation in which a chefetz and the siluk mechitza, the hanachat, the siluk mechitza, is simultaneous, can that still be mechayev? The truth is, there's in the various girsaot, there's different girsaot in the different shasim. Some have the yud that we have. The Venetia Shas does not have the yud. And the question, and if you don't have the yud, it's an entirely different way of looking at it.
Where is the
Michayev? Is it Michayev or Michayev? Uh-huh. Michayev means a person is Mitchayev. In the Mishnah in Hebrew, yud is the equivalent of the reflexive taf. So Mitchayev, like Mitameh, instead of Mitameh. So Michayev would mean that the person would nonetheless be Chayev because of the fact that there was a Mechitza. Right? Or the Michayev would mean, and that's the reason that we are Michayev. You're not nonetheless, we are Michayev. Which could have differences in terms of how to understand the rationale of what we're saying. Olo Michayev. Well, Tishrei Midday, I understand. Don't we have another mimer of Rabbi Yochanan that shows us what the answer is? It's not. We have the famous case we've had before, and we're going to have yet again. The Mishnah that's coming up about Hazorek Arba Amot Bekotel. If you throw something for Amot and Rishut HaRabim, and this thing is actually turns out to be something gooey, it sticks, like a veil of shmeina, and it lands on a wall, and it lands lamala mi'asarat fachim, and therefore it's now suspended above the area in which the Rishut HaRabim extends, the Rishut HaRabim only goes up to a maximum of 10 tefachim, and above that it's called a makom ptur. So it's as if it landed in the air. If something lands in the air, it's not chayav. On the other hand, bazareg ba'aretz arba amot chayav. We asked on that Mishnah, v'avinamba, v'holonach, how could it be chayav if it landed, if it lamata mi'asara, it never was munach on anything, because it's at the it would just roll down. How can you say that it was nach, but it was nach above? The Omer of Yochanan Mitvela Shmena Shanim. We're talking about something gooey. Now, the question is, something gooey that travels from the beginning of Arba Amot to the end of Arba Amot just turned the Arba Amot into less than Arba Amot. Because there it is, stuck on the walls. Now you don't have Arba Amot anymore. There any Arba Amot, remember the Kol Arba Amot Rishut Rabin. It's the equivalent of a separate Rishut. Now you're being mavato that distance because of a sticky devela. Ah, come on, man. It's not the same. Right? I'm mavato. I mean, I've got to leave the gooey devela on the permanently implanted there on that wall so that it should be mavato of arba amos. That's landing on the wall, which remains the wall, which is equivalent to landing on the bottom of the bore. If I threw a wet devela into a bore on the bottom, I never would have thought that that's mavato of the bore. But also, the point over here is that it's a chulia. Chulia actually remains at the bottom of the bar. Now, it changes the depth of the bar. So that's my question. Now, that stands, that question. Boy, Rava is having an equivalent question. Yes? You never heard the Simon Rinovitz, me and chulia down like a son. Chulia just means later, actually. It means a layer. Yeah. In other words, it becomes the equivalent of a layer in the book. So, I mean, if let's say it's bricks, then it would mean a layer of bricks. Whatever it is, it's just the bottom layer of the board. I have a similar case as Rava, where you take a board, and this board you throw onto some pegs that are standing up in Rishut HaRabim. Now, obviously, pegs in Rishut HaRabim don't have particularly a din of mechitzot to create Rishut HaYachid. The moment that I throw the board on top of it, it now becomes a Rishut HaYachid, because it's my focus, we shouldn't actually know why. Some learn because we view the edges of the board as satisfying halakhic requirements of Pitikra Yored V'Soter, which is that the edge of a flat roof creates a mechitza at its edges. And therefore, over here, even though it's supported by the edge, nonetheless, the mechitzot come down at the edge. Others learn that the usability over here is the equivalent of an amud, and therefore we view it as a sealed amud in Rishut HaYachid. A sealed amud in Rishut HaYachid, we already said, is Rishut HaYachid. So what you did over here is you created a Rishut HaYachid with the very chafetz that you threw in to create the Rishut HaYachid. That's a fascinating. In other words, I took Rabbi Yochanan's first piece and the second piece, put them together to create a mirror image in which the throwing in is the creation of, as opposed to the bittul of. So there, Taina's Rava, I would like to know, what's he asking that's really different from Rabbi Yochanan? Michael Mibar, is he asking hanachat chepetz vatsiyat mechitza, when you have something landing and creating a mechitza simultaneously? Is that what he wants to know? But that's the equivalent of Rabbi Yochanan's question. I know the Rabbi Yochanan, but you need to define the mechitza separately first. So, I mean, it's clever, but it doesn't really add anything. No. Nah. There was another little shtick over here that you didn't know about. What Rava wanted to know was, how about if, this is really cute, how about if on top of the board you also had your flower pot? So now the board lands together with the flower pot. And the thing is, the board lands, the flower pot pops up for a second, of course, from the impact, and falls down. Now there you go. You create your Rishut HaYachid and manage to do a hotzah, and this is a very effective way to be Mechal Shabbos, all in one. So even if, we'll assume now, this is what I want to know. Do we say that this would boil down to the same issue? Because since it was all happening at one time, and then this is what we're questioning, whether there was a mechitza there, and that remains with the open. But I'm adding an additional little piece over here, because, oh, Dilma. Kiven deloyev shad delo midal yapurta v'hada nayev kasiat mechitza v'anachat chefetz dam. Since we can, in examining the physics of what's happening, we can note that there will be an effect of popping up and landing for a moment on the flower pot. So now I may be able to split the act into two parts. In this case, the creation of the mechitzot came an instant before. So, I mean, what I'd like to know is it the act that we're referring to, or is it just the theoretical existence of the mechitzot for an instant before the actual otzah is completed? Is that what we're asking? So he's adding now, even assuming that, according to the answer to Rabbi Yochanan Zabbai is that you do not have a chiyuv on the daf, because you need to first have mechitzot before you'll be chayav. But even though in this case you did everything together, and even though normally we would say, well, it's lovewood, isn't it? But the point is that in terms of the actual munach, it takes place a half a second later. So maybe I could split that act into two separate things.
Was it thrown a second?
Yeah. No, it wasn't thrown. It was thrown together. But I know when it lands, the dock is going to land. It's sticking the flower pot. It'll take a minute to settle down.
Is that a total issue?
No, here we're interested only in the question of whether I could separate it into two parts. Now that it's called Toho. Sorry, what were you saying?
Same thing. His power didn't stuff the second part back down. That was the course of the...
Yeah, that's true. But nonetheless, the act has now become separated simply because of the physics of the thing. What was your concern? Was your concern that when I throw it, it needs to be the reshus, or does it mean that I have to be able to separate the asiyat mitzvot before the hanach? So the Rabbi Yochanan actually never got that across.
Maybe it was a gooey thing which was stuck to
it. If it was a gooey thing, I wouldn't have. Because then it would have been the same as Rabbi Yochanan. I'm specifically asking what's not a gooey thing. I'll tell you, this of course is, we'll remember, we've already had every last one of the following Abayas in first prayer. But Omar Rav, Pshitali, it's clear to me that if you have water, and this water is on top of other water, which water generally tends to do, and now you take a little bit of that water out, so you have a pit filled with water, and you take out some of the water on the top. You put it down at the end of a hotel. That's called hanofik. What do you mean? It's not on the ground. I left it on a bunch of water. It's not, you know, it's not steady. That's called putting down water. I know enough time. Yeah, I did a hotel. I put it down. I picked it up out of something. But I wasn't picking it off the ground. I was picking it off of other water. So it was never munach. No, that's called munach because that is the derech hanach of water. There's no way to solidify it. If I have a nut, all kinds of nuts, and I put that nut on top of the water, now that's definitely not considered to be hanof, because it's still not at rest. So being in a liquid state, essentially, relative to the ground, it's not considered to be hanof. My question is, hanof, is it defined relative to the ground, or is it defined relative to where it is? So if you have, let's say, an egg goes that lands in a plate that's floating on the water. Now the plate is not munach, but the egg goes relative to the plate is munach. The question over here is, are we looking for an absolute space for hanach, or are we looking for relative space for hanach? That's my question. This was a question that we had earlier. So boy, rather egg goes bekli. The klitza pagabi mayim ma miyaminu batar egg goes as lina. Do we say that hanacha is a relative state? Because all we're looking for is, how does the egos feel about life at this point? And as far as it's concerned, a kli is a fine world for an egos to be in, as long as nobody's mouth is around. Do we say, okay, but the egos is on a kli. I mean, the kli itself is not naif. Well, naif. Take. Don't know about that either.
Does that make the space station not a rishisiyafi?
The space station.
It's floating in space.
The space station is definitely relative to itself. We'll see, we're coming up to boats in water, which is the equivalent of space stations in space. I mean, you're on one too. Now, liquids are other liquids. How about that? You put some oil on top of wine. What would be the din there? You have different viscosities, and therefore they're kept separate. The truth is that that's no different than an ego's agave mayim, except for one possibility, which is that because of the nature of liquid, it may be possible to view it all as one entity. And therefore it's all essentially munach on the ground as if it were one thing. That's dependent, actually, on an interesting avaka. I'm sure you remember all of this from before, which is, do I view it as one entity in terms of the dinim of tumah? If it's one entity in terms of the dinim of tumah, then it's one entity in terms of the dinim of anacha. Or is it two separate entities, in which case it's full yom, who cannot be metami, he can only passel, which means that he can only make one step of psul, but that psul won't passel anything else through tumah, which is the definition word passel. Tumah affects it to passel it, but I can't call it tumah, because I can't detect the tumah in it, since it'll never come out of it. So it isn't tumah, it won't be metami anything else. What tumah detector could detect the tumah that doesn't emit tumah? Right? It's trying to get radiation from a black hole. Well, now you never know. So in this case, we have a machlokes with Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rambam. Ditlan. Shemen shitzav agave yayin v'nagat v'yom b'shemen. If you have oil floating on wine, et v'yom touches the oil, lo pasal ala shemen. So here, the Rabbanan Taina, only the upper oil becomes pasal, and since that oil can't emit to him, it can't pasal the yayin underneath it. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, shneim chibur zelazer. We view the liquid as a single entity. Since both of them are royal kabel psul from the tvuyon, the whole thing is one entity. In which case, when it comes to the hanacha, zoi hanachata. Omra bayi. I got an interesting point here. Let's say you have a board which is arriving. 10 tvachim deep, 8 tvachim wide. You now throw into this board, which is a ditch, you throw in a rolled up mat. What would be the ditch? It'd be fire. So how about this? Hang the mat in the middle. Then you'll be buttered. Why? Because if you look about the teleporter, you now don't have any machitzas. Because since this mat has some thickness and it's running down the middle, it turns out that neither, if you put it right in the middle, neither area has four tvachim. And since it doesn't have four tvachim, you don't have 10 tvachim of machitzas. Because you can't have a machitza unless you have a machitza that surrounds and a space, which is called a makom chashuv, that is considered to be a space. If it's not considered to be a space, unless it's about the tvachim, then the machitza doesn't exist. Now,
these measures to make it in a precise absolute center.
Yes, indeed, or it could be an imprecisely thick machatzela. One way or the other. Again, we're talking just about the theoretical considerations here. Right? And we see how this has to do, of course, with Rabbi Yochanan's question about chulia, because this boils down really to us, yes, chulia. And being mabatel the machitza to now having the bore insufficiently deep. Here we have a machitza that makes the bore insufficiently wide. But it's really the same thing, except that it adds another piece that Rabbi Yochanan didn't think about, or maybe he did, and rejected, which is why he didn't mention it, which is the difference between a chulia and a machatzela. I mean, a chulia becomes part of the bore. Machatzela, like I said, look, I mean, you can roll it up, it's removable. Maybe a machatzela tichla wouldn't be mabatel the space, which would see just something inside. So this the Gemara wants to talk out now. There's a look. I mean, Abaye, who the pshitele, the machatzela, the vatel machitza. It seems to be clear to Abaye that even a machatzela can change the width and therefore cause a bitul of the machatzela to the bar. So koshik and chulia, the mabatel machitza, obviously where I throw chulio into the board, for sure it's going to be mabatel the board. But Rabbi Yochanan, who wasn't even clear about the chulia, clearly he wanted to have the question of chulia specifically, because a machatzelet apparently was not even a consideration. Pshita the lomavata b'chitzata, because a chulia is permanent, and there it's bottle indeed to the bottom of the bar. Mashenken, a machatzelet would not be considered to be a bitul machitza, even to raise his issue about whether bitul machitza, siluk machitza v'hanachat chetvitz v'batachat, this is not called a siluk machitza. The Omer Abaye got another point, says Abaye. You have a born Rishut Rabim that is 10 tvachim deep, and it's 4 tvachim wide, and you fill it up with water. Do not think for a moment that the water removes the dinim of the machitza. You definitely would be chayev, even though it's filled with water. Obviously, whatever you threw in landed on the bottom. Melayat Peirot, on the other hand, if it's filled with something solid, the Zarakatocha, then it would be potter. My time. Mayim lo mevatlei mechitzata. Peirot mevatlei mechitzata. Now here, we run into a problem, because as Tosis points out, what's the difference peirot and a gui dveila? And as you told me before, the reason that the dveila is not going to be mevatel, the distance, but it's the same idea, whether it's the distance or the depth, is because it's something that you're not going to be mevatel. You know, what are we assuming that we're talking about perot that are put here permanently to rot? Some say, by the way, yes, but I don't say it's talking about the Yerubal. Okay, that's the easy way out. And Pasha certainly don't put something there permanently. That should be like a chulia. So Tosfos says we have no choice but to say that there are degrees of bitul. In other words, a single devela is not as much something that becomes a limitation of the rishus as filling up something with perot that are meant to be there, have been stored there, and actually cover the whole area. So over there we can understand that that's more similar to a chulia. Maybe you don't need permanence. So there's two issues to take into consideration. The covering, the veil doesn't completely cover, and therefore it's obvious that it's on something else. And the permanence of it. I intend for these perot to be here. I'm using it for the purpose of keeping the perot here. The others find that this definition is very vague. It doesn't give us clear-cut values as to what is considered to be a bitul or not. And because of that, they say it's got to be talking about a case where there's a true bitul of the perot. So, perot amavati mechitza. Tani nami hachi. Hazorek min hayam leisratia. Nesratia liyam patur. Normally, the yam itself is viewed as a carmelite. It's viewed as a carmelite not because the water in it prevents us from viewing the chitzot. It's viewed as a carmelite because we consider it to be a place of non-mechitzot. They are so spread out. It would be like saying every continent is Rishut HaYachid because it has mechitzot in the continental shelf. And unless you use the mechitzot locally, we don't see that as mechitzot. But if you would have in the yam, so normally it's a carmelite. Therefore, you'd be putter, from the yam into the actual Rishut HaYachid. But suppose you have a local Mechitza in the yam. So in other words, suppose you're over a particular place in which there is a ditch right underneath you, inside the yam. Now you're above that ditch, you're floating in the water. Continues now Rabbi Shimon to say, Im yesham b'makom shezarat, omek asara v'rochav arba achayav. Don't think that just because there's water over the top that it would not be considered to be removal from Rishut HaYachid. If you took the water out of a place which was itself separately defined as a mechitza, then in Okinami you would be chayav. From Rabbi Shimon, we're bringing a riot to a biased concept. The water per se over the mechitza, not about the mechitza.
So Rabbi Shimon is saying you can take the water from in that place not that every place over that place becomes a mechitza.
Well, that's a question. We should take out it as Ola Adaratia. The question is it considered to be munach there? Can you say Hainu Hanachato where it's not in a container? Liquids have a tendency to require space around them to be sealed.
So what if the water on the top of the
air would be a tzikra? It wouldn't be a tzikra, but the question is anything else munach? If it itself is Al-Gabi Mayim, which is floating between from one area to another, okay. But I mean,
someone has a situation where it's always covered, that more? It's in the water, it's in the...
It's not covered. It's not covered at all.
By other water?
Yeah, it's just a hole, which happens sometimes. You have like a sudden drop.
You can see it. Well, it's more filled with water.
No, you can't see it. You have a little radar unit, a little sonar unit. It tells you that it's there.
Just the other water.
Just when you step into it.
Anyway. Well, you can definitely feel it. Maybe the last thing you ever feel. This becomes Rishut HaYachid. Yeah, it's not like the rest of the area around it.
So where does the sea start?
No, the area, the yam itself, it creates a rishus, which is a non-rishus. It's not really a karmelit, it's a non. Remember, karmelit is a rabbonim concept. A non-rishus is the only concept that we have in the Torah. And you can have a non-rishus, which sometimes remains a non-rishus, which we call a makom patur, or it can have certain chumras the rabbonim, which we call a karmelit, in which we give it certain dinim, in which it's similar to a rishus. The yam is actually midiraisa, is a no place. Because of the word, remember that when it comes to rishut harabim, usage becomes definitive of the space rather than mechitzas. So that means it's not, the existence of mechitzas is one way to define a particular space. In a non-particular space, usage becomes definitive. Forget the rishut harabim. And on harabim, the more it's undefined, the more likely it is to be rishut harabim. As we start defining it, if it has two mechitzas, and certainly if it has three mechitzas, it may not be Rishut HaRabim anymore, even though it's big and lots of people are using it. When it comes to the Carmelite of the Yam, the very fact that by definition there's no mechitzot there, which is not true in this particular case. Why are there no mechitzot? Because we view the entire area as not being defined by mechitzot at any point where I could see them and sense that I'm in the middle of Arba mechitzot. So I don't consider that to be a defined space. So the moment the usage area is Yam, it becomes now a no space.
Why do you need the Bor of Ten?
Because the Bor of Ten violates the Yam. The Bor of Ten creates a local space, which is usually not true in the Yam. I don't have local spaces in the Yam, generally speaking.
Similar to what we're doing with the Rabbi.
Similar to Rishon Zeraim.
Where does the Yam start literally the water?
That's what our president was asking. In other words, there's the Shimush that turns it basically to the carpet. It can no longer be Rishon Zeraim. At that point, it's not separately defined, but it can't be Rishon Zeraim because people don't walk through the unless they're real believers, they don't walk through the ocean. And therefore, it's not a Mokum B'Kiyat Rabim. We came up with that Mokum B'Kiyat Rabim. It's like distribution for Rabim. Okay, so what is it? Well, it doesn't have its own ten mechitzot, our own ten tefachim mechitzot. So at that point, it becomes a Carmelite. And then you're right, it becomes an unspace.
What about a
busy
shipping lane? A very busy shipping lane, like coming out of New York Harbor or something like that. It's just constantly traffic.
Yeah, but over there, each boat is a separate Rishut HaYachid.
It's like a highway.
In Hachinani. That's what's relied on Lahalacha to make the area. Is that every car is a separate Rishut HaYachid. Becomes the equivalent of boats in the water, which I consider to be the case. Exactly. That's exactly the truth. Because otherwise you would have in our cities Rishut HaRabim that are used by Sheish Meot Elef, which would be supplying, easily supply all of the requirements of Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita. Once you have Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita, you can't put up an Erev that's made out of streams. That's all a Rabbanan fiction, essentially.
But if there's 600,000 cars, that doesn't...
Cars? Yeah. I suppose if they're Android cars, you might have a problem. Hazorek Arba Amot Bekota. We finally got to it. We certainly talked about it enough. Hazorek Arba Amot Bekota. Lamala Me'asrat Vachim. Kizorek Ba'avir. Lamata Me'asrat Vachim. Kizorek Ba'aretz. And always Hazorek Ba'aretz. As long as it's Arba Amot, it would be Chayev, even though it didn't land on anything that is defined differently than any other part. Over here, in Rishut HaRabim, the space, the distance itself, defines the separate space, which is a brand new concept. Yeah? Usually you needed either mechitzot or shimush to define the nature of a specific space. Asks the Gemara, as well we know, v'holonach, how can you say that it was chayev if it never landed, since it's hanging, stuck here on this wall? Because it's hanging as a Devela Shemena. And the Devela Shemena is basically implanted on that wall. You'd have an interesting case where it wasn't sticky, but instead landed right in a little indentation in the wall. So if you were Zorak Mamalam Yatsara, Malchab and Nacha, Bechor Koshu, and again we had this whole sugya before, Banu the Machloket Rabbi Meir Verabbanan, the Rabbi Meir the Amal Chokikin Lashlim Mechayev, the Rabbanan the Amarin Chokikin Lashlim Lo Mechayev. Because we have a famous halakha, which is when a space is delineated along one dimension, and on another side it is delineated in another two dimensions, whether we draw out that space. So in other words, if I have, let us say, a situation like right over there in the doorway, where the top bends in, I suppose that was 10 tefachim from the top to the bottom, only 10 tefachim, which is just enough to be considered a doorway, Lagabi, the chiyuv of the mezuzah. And then I start measuring it, and I say, wait a minute. As I get up to that top part, I don't have four tefachim. It comes up to nothing. So I only have four tefachim on the bottom, but I don't have four tefachim by ten tefachim. So I shouldn't have to put a mezuzah on there. According to Rabbi Meir, because the space is defined in three dimensions, ten tefachim high, in this case we don't need three dimensions, two dimensions, ten tefachim high and four tefachim wide. I said, but it isn't 10 by 4. Oh, yes, it is. Because halachically, that defines, that's called chokikin. You, for all intents and purposes, saw away the edge and make it 10 by 4 all along. So the same thing would be true over here where it's not a b'chor koshu. Tosfos says, of course, it's got to be talking about that there is one dimension that is well defined. So in other words, it can't just be there's a little indentation, this thing falls indentation, behind it is solid wall, and we'll say, since there's solid wall behind it, why don't we just eat away at the solid wall? Why would we eat away at the solid wall? Nobody ever suggested Chokin Lashman is to eat away without any reason to eat away. But assuming that this little hole actually goes all the way through the wall, and right in the point where it fell into the hole, it was wide enough to be considered a mokum arba. So then we would say chokin lashner, and now it's inside of a mokum chashuv, which is indeed an amud brushet rabbi. So then it would be chayiv. Was according to the rabbanim, who say we don't saw away theoretically in order to be mashlim a space that's defined on one end. Lo mechayiv. Chani nami. Ach, indeed, there's a brayta that says this clearly. Zorak lemala mi'asara. Ve'alcha ve'nacha bechor koshuhu, Rabbi Meir v'chayev v'chachamim potrim. Omri v'yuram harav, another fascinating idea. This basically, to some extent, discusses the issue that our president raised a moment ago. Where does the yam begin? Because we often have a mechitza, so to speak, that doesn't extend straight up and down. So it's, how spread out can a mechitza be? This is very, very relevant for New York parking spaces. And as you know, when you go into a underground parking space, you basically go over an empty hole and your car falls straight down. So they don't have room to give you any kind of real driveway in New York. You know, if you're taking your life in your hands, you put on your seatbelt, you have to zoom down there. Is that going to be a mechitza? Or is it gradual enough to still be, there's no clear-cut area which is 10 fucking high? So, okay, so that depends, actually, the height per length distance. What is the angle of the shipua, exactly? So I can give you the amount of height per unit that this will change in, and then you'll be able to apply that and decide whether it's a mechitza. This, by the way, comes up really all the time. In cities, especially where they do use the continental shelf, as one of the mechitzas for an Erev, like in Toronto, where you have a drop-off that's enough to be used for an Erev, this becomes very, very central. Or if you're camping or something, and you're on a hill, you know, you want to know, can you carry within the entire area without making a mechitza? It comes up all the time. It's extremely practical. The shear is that if you've got a tell that's mitlakeit hasara mitoch arba, if within a space which is the horizontal measurement of four amos, you end up with a differentiation in height of your asarat vachim, you have a mechitza. Right? In other words, if within a space of four amos you start, and now it starts, the rise begins. If the rise achieves a 10 tefachim rise before it completes four amos horizontally, that's a kosher mechitza. You don't need to worry about anything else. And you'd be surprised how easy it is to achieve that type of situation out in the wild. A slope. It's a light slope. So in that case, a sort of is on an half. Approximately, it's something more. It's a six trophy brahma. So in such a case, if you would be the opposite, if you would be Zorak, Minach Agabav, if you throw from the beginning of the rise to the top of the rise, you essentially ended up throwing from Rishat Rabin, Rishat Yafrit, and you would be Chayim. Asara is Lashon Zachar, and therefore is a reference to Tefach. Arba is Lashon Nekeva, and therefore a reference to Ama. So we can do it in Hebrew more efficiently than we have in English.
So the Mizbeach would be?
Mizbeach, I mean the Kevesh.
Yeah.
Tanya Amiha. Mavui, Sheshavela Tochon, has other applications, the Kabbalah of Mivot. Normally, if you've got an alleyway that's closed on one end, opens up in the Rishat Rabin, you need to put at the top front of the alley in order to be able to carry the different from the different homes inside of it. You have to put up either a lechi along the edge to show that this is separate from the Rishat Rabin, or a korah across the top. But if you have a driveway which drops into the street level or rises into the street level from inside the mabui, you don't need anything else. So you've got a mabui shishaveva toho. It may be the inside of the mabui has maybe a long, flat alleyway, but it has a driveway, nasa midron the Rishut Rabin. Or for that matter, it's shaveva Rishut Rabin, nasa midron the toho. I mean, I don't care which direction it's going, up the driveway, down the driveway. But the important thing is that driveway makes the mabui into a clearly delineated, separate rishus, and because of that, enon tzarit lo lechi v'lo korah. It doesn't need any type of indication. What is that shear? By the same token, tel hamitlaket asara mitoch arba, v'zorak v'nachal gabav chayav, which essentially supports what it was that we suggested earlier.
In less than, that's all right, in less than 4 hours.
4 hours?
I'm talking 4 hours, yeah, less than 4 hours.
Yeah, very easy to achieve. This is an extremely convenient halacha, which we recently used at Ritchie's, the great prophet.
You mean the continental shelf, what do you mean?
Your question, where is the continent drops off. There's a drop at the edge of the yam. I can use that as a mechitza if I'm near to it.
Further into the water.
Yeah. There's a point at which you have a drop off that is sufficient to create this. Zark v'toch arba amot. V'nitgalgel chutz arba amot. I remember the guy is attempting to throw something and it never lands. He's trying to throw into a wind. His paper airplane never made it. A great tragedy. And it ended up, well, the first case rather, it ended up that his airplane was dragged away from where he wanted it to land and landed outside of Arnon. Over there, obviously, it would be Potter because he never had an intent to fly his airplane on Shabbos. Masha'inke, chutz la'arba amot. If he tried to have it land far away and outside of his 4 amos, and it never landed, instead, the wind blew it back. And if landed within the Arba Amos, it would be Chayiv, which is strange, because it's the Gemara asks, V'halo nach, understand. What's the point of his intent to land his paper airplane and never land it? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, well, obviously, V'hushanach, Agavi Masho, I mean, it needed to touch something at least for a moment. Tanya Namiyach, Izark, Chutz Arba Amot, Udlachafato Harua. The Braita explains it, actually. Somebody is throwing his paper airplane, the wind grabs it, V'chnisato, and pushed it back in. Even if then it grabbed it and pulled it out again, that's no longer his kov at all. It would be potter. But if achazato haruach mashu, if it ended up suspended for a moment by the ruach, birds love to do that on the seaside. You know, that's really a favorite game of birds. They just stand there suspended. Sure, what do you mean? Just needs to be there for a moment. Then now the truth is, gentlemen, based on what we learned before in the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan, in which we were claiming that betoch shalosh, everybody was moda that mahalik, not mahalik, but klutik mishuncha. Like we're saying, ni miat shalosh kuleyamun leida that you would be chayav. Ni shalosh v'aretzer, that's the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan. Now, Gabi Yasser, of course, that was our machlokas over there, whether we were saying Yalfin and Zorek Mimoshi, or whether it's no longer Nogea to say Kluta Kamishununka, because it's no longer Kluta. I mean, the Gemara should have immediately said, well, what do you mean? It's not about, it was within 3 foot from the ground. Your airplane was coming in for a landing, and then it blew away. But since it was within 3 foot from the ground, you claimed before that that's not a problem. That's the simplest thing to say. It's clear that we're assuming, and Tosis points this out, we're assuming in our sugya, that we don't agree with that cheetah, because, and as a matter of fact, Rava is about to say, and Tosa says, we were anticipating Rava, which is why it was bothering us. As Rava says, Tosh shalosh l'rabanan, shloshah l'rabanan, within 3 tefachim, according to the Rabbanan, who hold it, you don't say klutik mishahuncha, definitely tzorech anachal gavi mashu. It's not the fact that you're within 3 tefachim that also means you're at rest. There's two different issues here. The one is a question of where are you, the other question is, are you at rest? And why would we say you're at rest just because it's lava? We're going to, what, pretend that it's solid ground that your airplane is flying through? It's still flying. So this is clearly cholek on the Mandyama earlier, who says, nobody would argue it's betoch shalosh, it's considered essentially to be at rest. That's equivalent to the same type of idea that we had, according to Rebbe, of the ball that was going through the guy's living room. That since we view it as sealed halakhically, for all intents and purposes, it's also at rest. Who would normally assess it? That's what that might be on holds. Rava said the two issues are completely separate. It's not at rest. So it needed at least to be something that had stopped its movement, at least for a moment. Yosef Marimar v'kormel ala shmaitza. So Marimar was saying this over, and Ravina said to Marimar, I thought, I mean, we know that already, don't we? Lav hainu matnitin. I mean, the Mishnah said that if you throw your paper airplane outside of Arba Amot, and even though it lands back within Arba Amot, that you'd be chayim. And Rabbi Yochanan said, that's only if it was nach agabe mashu. So this is why this has been defined generations ago. I mean, that's what you're saying. You're saying, I mean, because we're assuming that it was about to land, And yet the only answer as to why it was considered to have landed is because it actually touched something for a moment. Apparently coming in within 3 tefachim of the ground was not sufficient, which is what you're saying. Omalei said, Rabbi, no, it's not what I'm saying. I'm saying something beyond that. Because you're talking about a case where it's mitgalgel. This airplane is currently in the hands of the wind. In other words, it's a rolling airplane, so to speak. Something which is mitgalgel ain't so full of nuach. I don't view it as about to land. Masha Inkin, where you have something which is only being controlled by gravity, meaning I threw a heavy ball and it is now on a trajectory coming in for a landing. Before it lands, I suddenly realize, oh my God, it's Shabbos. I shouldn't have done that. You're not normally Chayav HaKatas if you remember in the middle of the event that you shouldn't have done what you did because it's no longer on the show game. Now my question is, I need to define, was it the middle or was it completed because it's already within Shalosh? I'm telling you, even in that case where you would think, okay, but over here, for all intents and purposes, we might as well move, view it as landed. Because you're just discussing the question of Klut HaKamishahuncha. Klut HaKamishahuncha is when it's flying through, across. I'm talking about it's coming in for a predefined landing that nobody's going to be able to do anything about. Okay, so maybe you would say that since Shalosh is considered to be Lavud, Lavud means it's not on the ground, it's attached to the ground. That's my Kiddush, that's taking Rabbi Yochanan definitely a step further, and therefore it was not included in Rabbi Yochanan's mind. Hazorek b'yam arba'amot patur. Since we've already explained that the yam is considered to be a no place, for the rabbanim are not going to make it a carmelite, you would be potter in throwing arba'amot, but only potter because it's not a malkum tur, and therefore the rabbanim are machmir, treat it like rishut rabbim lechora. Im hayam. Now, on the other hand, don't think that that means that a puddle is nothing but a miniature yam. In other words, if I have in the middle of my Rishut HaRabim a puddle, I say, okay, the same way that our president was kind enough to point out that the Yam Besentri is a big puddle, because at what point does it stop in the Rishut HaRabim? So you'd say, a little puddle is exactly the same thing. You have a puddle in Rishut HaRabim, that puddle is not part of Rishut HaRabim. There, it's not so simple. Because if you have a Rekakamayim, you have a puddle of water, and the Rishut HaRabim nonetheless extends Mahalechet Bar. It is used for travel through the puddle. Malachet bo. In that case, Azorek Tocho Arba'amot Chayav. Because since, in real terms, it's continuing to be used by people in their wagons and so on, it does not lose its Shemur Shut Rabim because its Shimush is continued to be part of the Shimush of Shut Rabim. V'kama hurekak mayim. When I say a puddle, I mean, what do I mean by a puddle? Well, it has to be less than Azorek Tvachim. Once it's Azorek Tvachim, then already, I mean, you need to put on your scuba diving gear, whatever, that, and it's not considered to be your Rishut HaRabim. Rekak Mayim, Rishut, you'll remember the strange Mishnah because we analyzed it in detail, again, earlier in the Masechta, the first paragraph. The Mishnah repeats itself, word for word, and we need it to be medayik, the repetition. We did that in the first paragraph, we're going to do it again. The stop is entirely repeated. So, Rekak Mayim Rishut HaRabim Alechet Bo, Hazorek B'tokol Arba Amot Chayav. Same words. Weird. So one of the Rabbanan in the Beit HaMidrash. No, he could be standing in the Yam and he's throwing out 4 amas.
In the Yam.
Yeah. No, we're talking about Ma'avir. We're going to discuss the din of Machnas and Motzi, but we already discussed partially the din of Litocho. Litocho over here, it's Arba Amot. I'm looking at this mission and trying to understand it. Now, I understand the meaning of the repetition of the word Mahalechet Bo. That makes sense. Trezim Ne. One comes to tell me Mahalechet Bo Hiluch HaYadei Achak Shmei Hiluch. That even though it may not be convenient to walk through the water, nonetheless, that's considered to be a Rishut HaRabim. And the repetition comes to teach me, note, I say Mahalechet, and boy, do I mean Mahalechet. If it would be Tashmish HaYadei Achak, he said, I can still use it. They're flying away. Mahalechet. Remember, we had this question before. If I've got something, and it's a pit in Rishut HaRabim, and it's a place where I could store things, you know, so people could bend and put down their knapsack or something. But it's very inconvenient. They have to shove it down, pull it out, and so on. It's 9:40. That was the question of whether depth is the same as the convenience of an amud. So it's coming to tell me, Tashmish? No. Tashmish has to be convenient. Hiluch is the etzem definition of Rishut HaRabim. It's a place for walking through. So the fact that you'll say, well, but I mean, even though it's a, it looks like a Carmelite, people use it, and therefore, when they're walking through Rishut HaRabim, therefore it should be part of the Rishut HaRabim. No. Usage that is inconvenient doesn't make it part of the Rishut HaRabim. Usage that's convenient, that was the issue of Tzidei Rishut HaRabim, where people put things down. There we have the discussion of whether that's part of the Rishut HaRabim. But I do not understand what the point was of saying twice the word Rikak Mayim. We could have just repeated. He wanted to tell me, Rishut HaRabim Ha'alechet Ba'azor HaPatokim, we'd understand we're going on the same case. Why repeat the word Rikak Mayim? Crazy, normally. You know what? I think it's telling me this. Chad B'yamot HaChama, B'chad B'yamot HaGeshamim. It's to tell me that whether this puddle is going to be there in the middle of the rainy season or in the middle of the hot season, either way, it's considered to be Batul to Rishut HaRabim. But that's by no means obvious. Because, look, I mean, if you're telling me, it's under Chada, let's say I would have only said one. I could have said to myself, okay, you know, maybe that's Dafka during the season in which it's so hot that people are grateful for a little brief dip on their way through the Rishut HaRabim. You know, at least I can get my toesies cooled off as I'm going by. So I mean, in the Maskilat Kuring Avshai, where people don't really mind getting a little wet because they cool off. But the Yomot HaGeshamim, who wants to walk through a puddle? So maybe over there would not be considered to be, it would be already so much Ayideh Tchak, it would be already Bavat Rishut HaRabim. On the other hand, even you would tell me B'Feirush B'Yomot HaGeshamim, I could still think, okay, you know what? In Rishut, in Yomot HaGeshamim, everything is muddy and blechi. So, okay, I gave them a time to say, whatever I'm on. I'm going to get wet. I mean, my shoes are so muddy anyway. You know, what's the difference? I'm going to get all dirty over here in a puddle. I won't go into a puddle. It's not worth getting dirty. Therefore, I need to have the double lotion to tell me none of these considerations change the bottom line. Abaya says, I have another explanation. I say, it's true. Because, it's only if the puddle appears to you to be something short that you could just walk through. Once it's arba amot, so then people think in terms of walking around. So they walk around, and therefore they end up not really walking through the puddle, and that area becomes a carmelite. Rabbi, she says the contrary. I would think dafka if it's 4 amos long. But if it's less than that, I'll jump. So then mitzvah possibly, I'll give it my best attempt anyway, walking over it without stepping into it, which would mean that it's not a mokum of hilach harabim. And this, in fact, is Ravashi's shita all along, that the fact that you might jump over a thing, it doesn't matter, because many people don't. You can walk right over it. It's Ravashi l'shita told Yom Ravashi, I'm mad d'zorek v'nocha gura d'gamba b'chayim. V'harei rabim bok'im bo. You throw something, which is basically, you throw, let's say, a piece of wood, and it lands on a bridge, which anyway is made out of pieces of wood like that, suspended on strings and something, you know, ropes. So in that case, you could think that, well, it's not really part of the Rishus HaRabim anymore because, you know, people will jump over it. So the Maizor is Mavata of Rishus HaRabim because they're going to feel a little bit shaky because it's not connected the way the other boards are. No, there's plenty of people that are just poking, but they just walk over things. If they walk over things, then this becomes part of Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, you were Mavir, Arba Amot Rishus HaRabim. I thought we were finishing. I want to continue. I don't mind continuing. I just feel I'm losing my dedicated audience.
Oh. When are we going to catch
up? So we'll give it another. Well, let's give it another 2 minutes. Okay. We'll just at least work. Okay. Hazorik
minayam
liyabashav. Minayabashav liyam. Yeah, we finally get to clear cut. Let's have it, the statement. You're throwing from the dry land into the yam or vice versa. Or from the yam into a svina. And now the svina is definitely a Rishut HaYachid. Or from a svina into the yam. Or for that matter, from one svina into another svina. Patur? As a matter of fact, svinot shurot zubizu. If you've tied up another ship so that you are now connected to each other, you can even carry from one ship to the next. Mitzatulim bizu lazu, which is useful for piratic attacks on Shabbos. Ime non shurot. However, if they're not really connected, so you have a picture of Mukafot. They may be right up against each other. In the Tatum Mizulazu, we'll see why and what the issues are that we need to consider in the Gemara. Idma. Svina, that wants now to get water, or to drop things into the water. Ravuna Marmotine min a ziz koshu umimale. What you can do is you can stick out, just for a hecker, as we'll see, even something that's not wide enough to create a reshus, even with PT Grayo Rake was okay. Stick something out over the edge. and you're allowed to take water off of the sea, which doesn't seem to make sense because you take it from a carmelite into the boat. What are we attempting to do exactly with this
disease?
What do we need the disease from? A manushak. I mean, if it's okay, how does the disease change it? If it's not okay, the disease can't make it okay, can it? Rav Chisda, v'rabba baravuna amin, oseh makom arba'a. No. You're talking about makom arba'a, which then essentially creates virtual mechitzas going down. You fill up underneath those virtual mechitzas, and then you have basically a reshut hayachid that is defining the carmelite all the time.
That's because of the board, only
people go out of it. Yeah, this is they based the new keyboards, virtual keyboards on this. You project, you have a little laser image of a keyboard. This is really great if you like to type in your PDA. You don't want to carry around one of those bulky keyboards or even a folding keyboard. It's a great little device, size of a pen, and you click it on, and it projects a keyboard, you see, by laser, and then it detects where your fingers are touching it. This is now on the market, $150 or so. It detects which OCOs your fingers are typing. You can get a keyboard wherever you want. So here you go. You've got a virtual reshut hayachid. All you got to do is project the mechitzas down into the yam, and the carmelite turns into reshut hayachid. Take the water straight out of it. Brilliant. It's clear that they based this on the Gemara. There's only where they come up with
it. Laser pen
is a mechitza. It's the equivalent of a laser. Now, what's the machlokas over here? Machlokas is like this. Ravuna Marmotzi Min Aziz Koshu, he holds that Kasava Carmelite Miara Mashkina. Where does the Carmelite and the Yam begin? The Carmelite and the Yam begins on the ocean bottom. Since that's true, the Carmelite can only extend 10 tefachim high. So the top of the Yam is really just a Mokum Ptur. And therefore, I have no problem in picking up from the surface to my boat. However, since I don't necessarily have Mark Twain wherever I go, so I put out a Ziz Kol Shehu, in order that it should be clear that I'm taking soundings. In other words, it should be obvious that somebody cares about knowing that we're really over a place where we don't have to be foshesh that I'm taking from a carmelite. And it's just a hecker to let people know that sounding is taken. So it's only a hecker. But then this is not loaded. I don't really need disease for anything. In order to establish every time you've got a boat that is going to be using the arm in this fashion, that you should know where you are, and not to forget that you've got to worry about taking from a carmelite and reshut hayachid, we make this hekera to be a memory of the fact that you have to know what you're doing. Rav Chisda, the Rabba Bar Baruna, on the other hand, who say, Osa makom arba al mamalit, they all know the point of the yam being a carmelite is because its usage is defined by carmelite. We don't even look at it as having mechitzas. We don't look at it as having a bottom. It's not as if it's a bar that you're bemaling with water. The point is, over here, it becomes a surface. And it's a type of surface which is carmelite use surface. Therefore, the carmelite is misfat mayamash. The whole point of it being a carmelite is that its surface is a carmelite. And therefore, we view this whole thing as the mayak aras mich. That's like, oh, one thick thing. You wouldn't make a virtual reshut hayachid by having the arba board on top to project a mechitza around it, you would be metalta from a carmelite to reshut hayachid, which would actually be asur. Okay. Those extra couple of minutes made all the difference. Go. Okay, we're holding on to Tzadik Tes Amud Beis here. Boy with help. How about a bor asara v'natam l'tokha chuli yom yata mahu? Anachat chepetz v'siluk mechitza v'ari adari ka'at u'mechayev o lo mechayev? Tipshot lo, in idide? Tetzana zorek arba amot bekotel l'mala mi'asrat v'achim ki zorek v'avir, l'mata mi'asrat zorek v'aretz v'azorek v'aretz arba amot chayav. And Avinan Ba, what do you mean, Alonak? It was Rabbi Yochanan himself who said, B'tvilash and Shpenash, you know. What about here, where he's being Mamayat Mi'arba Amot? No. Hatha Mamavatale. I mean, obviously, B'tvilash Shmena is not going to be there forever. Hatha Mamavatale. Boy, Rosh, Zorak Da, V'nachak Abeyate Dod Mal. Michael B. Boyle, what? Whether Hanachat Hefetz Vasiat Mefitza, Bahari Adade Kato, what the din is, I know the Rabbi Yochanan. Kika Liberle, the Rodha, Kika Mizorak Da, Fechetz Agaba, my. Kiman the Bari Adadi Ka'atu, כן, אחד חפץ ועשיית מחיצה, ואמור, עוד אם מכיוון לא אפשר להמיד לפורט עבוד הנאיר, כעשיית מחיצה ונחת חפץ סתם מפתק. אומר רב פשיט אבי, מים אגבי מים, היינו הנחתם. אגוז אגבי מים, לאו היינו הנחתם. בואי אין רב אגוז בכלי בכלי צף אגבי מים מה. מי אמרינה בתר אגוז, אז לילה בנאיר, עוד אם הבתר כלי, אז לילה בנאיר, תק. שמן אגבי יין, מחוק בביופן מנוי ורבון עד עצנן. שמן שצף אגבי יין ונגעת ויום בשמן, לא פסל על השמן. ביופן מנוי אומר, שניהם חיבור לזה לזה, it's all one thing for tumah, and therefore for anocha. אומר רבי, בור ברשות רבים עמוקה, עשרה וחבה שמונה, וזורק לתוכה מחת סלט, of course, חיה. However, take the same מחת סלט, and throw it in open, and חיוקה במחת סלט פוטר. So, להווי את הפשיטה לידי מחצלת מבעת המחש בחיצה, כל שכן לחוליה, אז מבעת למחיצה. וזה רבי יוחנן, דמיבוי לחוליה, מחצלת אביסלי, אז פשיטה לידי לא מבעת למחיצה. ויום רבי, בורבר של רבי ממוקה עשרה ורחבה ארבעה, מלאה מים, וזרק לתוך החיה, מלאה פירות וזרק לתוך הפטור, מי קיימה? מים לא מבעת למחיצתה. פירות מבעת למחיצתה. תניה מהכי, אז הולך מן הים לישרת, מן הישרת לים, פטור. רבי שמעון אומר, אם יש במקום שזרק עמוק עשרה ורחב ארבעה, חייב. הזורק ארבעה עמוד בכותל, למעלה מעשרה פרק מזרק באבידון. למעט מעשרה פרק מזרק באורק, הזורק ארבעה עמוד בכותל, חייב עולות נחם רבי אוכל רבי שמיר השנינו. אום רבי ירום רב, אום רבי יזורק למעלה מעשרה רבי אוכל ונחם בכל כלשהו. בן ולמחלוק את רבי מאיר ורב הנחלי, רבי מאיר דם החוקים להשלים מחייב. רבנן דאמרי אין חוקים להשלים לא מחייב. תניה אני אבי זורק למעלה מעשרה ואוכל ונחם בכל כלשהו ומאיר וחייב וחכם בכותרים. אום רבי ירום רב תל, המתלקית עשרה מתוך ארבעה, וזורק ונחל גבב חייב. תניה אני אחי, מוכו איש ששב לתוך ונעשה מידון לרשת רבים, או ששב לרשת רבים ונעשה מידון לתוכו, אותו מבוין, וצורך הולך לי ולא קורה. ובתנין אומר גם לי אולי, תל המתלקית עשרה מתוך ארבעה וזורק ונחל גבב חייב. זורק בתוך ארבעה מספיק אלכו, חוץ לי ארבעה מספטור, חוץ לי ארבעה מספיק אלכו, בתוך ארבעה מספייה. פולו נח, אמר רבי אופן, הוא שנח אגבי משהו, תניה מיופי. זורק, חוץ ארבעה מאוד ודפו על רוח בכניסתו, אף הפי שחזרה ביוציאתו פטור, אחזתו על רוח משהו, אף הפי שחזרה בכניסתו חייב. אמר רבי תוך שלוש רבונן, צורק, שלושה רבי רבונן, צורק הנחל אגבי משהו. יאותי מרינו בקומן על השמייצה, אומר רבי אלמים, לאו היינו מדמיתים, ואומר רבי אוכלו שנח אגבי משהו. אמר לי, נו כפרסן, מה מתגלגל כאן? מתגלגל, אז אין סוף לנו עכשיו. אני לא נית את זה הנחל. אבל היו אלה פעד. תקימי לסוף לנו רק, אף אגב זה לא נח כמן בגנש בה, מכמה שלא נעם תלן ינעת את זה. אז זורק בים ארבעה מאוד פתור. אם היה רקק מים, רשות רבים הלכת בו, אז הורק לתוכו 400 חיה, וכמה הוא רקק מים, הם פחות מעשרה טפחים. רקק מים רשות רבים הלכת בו, אז הורק לתוכו 400 חיה. אומרים לרבנו רבא, יש להם את הרפטישן של הילוך, הילוך, טריזים, הקמה שמן, פרסט כל הילוך על ידי החג שמי הילוך, and the repetition tells us that תשמש על ידי החג, לאו שמי תשמיש. But רקק רקק טריזים, לא מלאים. חד מימות החמה וחד מימות הגשמים. וצריך, דיתן אחד אבא מן האנמין ובימות החמה דיאבינים יש למאס כדי קורי נפשי. אבא מימות הגשמים לא. וי אשמינו במות הגשמים, אבל אפשר גיבי דמית נפי לא יכפת לו. אבא מימות החמה לא. אבא יהיה אומר, איץ, קצת כתת לך מן האנמין לך לא אבי ארבע עמות. אבא לך דה אבי ארבע עמות, עקוף ומקפיל. רבה שאומר לקנטרי. איץ, קצת כתת לך מן האנמין לך לא אבי ארבע, אבא לך לא אבי ארבע, וג'אפ אובר את המיסי פסיפה. ויאז רבשי לצייר, יום רבשי, עמד לזורק מנוח הגודל וגם לא בחייל, שאלי רבים פוקעים בו. אז זורק מן הים ליבשה ומן היבשה ליה, ומן הים לספינה ומן הספינה ליה, ומן הספינה לחברתה פטור. ספינות קשורות זו וזו יקדים, ומי מטלת מזו זו כתחילה. ואם אינן קשורות, אף הפי שמוקפות, אין מטלת מזו לזו. אית מר ספין הרבונה אומר מוציא נמן הזיז כושו ממלא, ובחיס דברה ברבונה אומר, עושה מקום ארבעה וממלא. רבונה אומר מוציא נמן הזיז כושו ממלא כסף הקרמלי דמי ארם השכינה, ואוויר על המקום תורו, ובדין הוא דזיז נמי לא ליבוי אלא כך לאג להכירה. ובחיס דברה ברבונה אומר, עושה מקום ארבעה וממלא, כסף הקרמלי דמי שפת מים השכינה, מי ארס מיכתה, אני לא אוהב עם מקום ארבעה, כמתתו מקרמלי לרשות היחיד.
Да. Да.